This is Evangelist George McTyre of the Word of God Ministry, and our message for this session is a message that was first published back in December of the year 2000. It's being transcribed or made into an audio in February of the year 2024. So that's just making it about 23 years or so ago that this message was first published. The reason why I give you the dates is because during the course of reading this message, I might mention certain people, places, times, or events or things like that that were relevant at the time when I first wrote this message that may or may not be relevant today. And if I come across that, I'll try to let you know about it. However, when it comes down to the Word of God, it is always relevant. Yesterday, today, and forever. That means 6,000 years ago, today, and if the Lord tarries 6,000 years from now, His word will still be relevant. And anybody that is exposed to it would do well to adjust their lives accordingly, take heed to it, and address their lives accordingly to it. Now, having said that, we are going to go into the message. Our subject scripture is taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter number 6 and verse number 33. And as I said, this is for the month of December of the year 2000. Now, if you have the scripture available, you will find these words recorded. This is Jesus speaking. If you got a red letter edition, you will know that because the letters, the wording is in red. It says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." The title for this message: Get Your Priorities Straight. Get Your Priorities Straight. The scripture, the subject scripture, is the solution to all of the problems that man could ever face in his life. It encompasses all of the needs and desires that all of us have, and lets us know that in order to obtain them, there are certain prerequisites or priorities that we have to follow. Recently, this nation had an election for president, along with other general elections for varying state, county, and local offices. All of the people that were contending for these offices were saying that if they get elected, they would do certain things for the area that they were elected to represent, which is good. However, while there are things that all of us would like to see improved, both in our own lives as well as in our communities, we need to realize one thing, and that is, we will only achieve these things if we are willing to commit ourselves to the ways that God says are right. Now, from the time that we are born until the time we die, we are steadily seeking things to fulfill our lives, desires, and wants. All it takes for us to support someone or believe in something is for it to give us hope that if we will just commit ourselves to them or it, we will have a chance to realize our fulfillment. But God is saying that if we will seek Him and commit ourselves to Him and His ways, that all of our needs will be met. Now, in the verses immediately above our subject verse, starting at verse number 25, Jesus is outlining the basic needs that we all have, and that is food and clothing. He goes into detail about how the Father feeds all the birds and the other animals, and that man is made in the image of God is far more important to him than any of these animals. And we should not worry about how he is going to eat, because the Father will surely feed him. He then goes on to talk about how the Father provides all of the flowers with bright and colorful clothing, talking about raiment, and that they don't even have to work. He lets us know that God will provide clothing for us as well. He then tells us we have no need to worry about any of these things. Now, if he stopped right there, then we could say, well, all I have to do is wait on him to give me what I need. And that is what many of us end up doing, waiting on God to give us something, figure He is just going to give it to us just like that. But there is the matter of the subject verse, which outlines the prerequisites for God to do what He says. Jesus says, seek first, meaning the first things first, not second or third, but first. We have a tendency of always putting God and the things that He says in the back of our desires, and putting our desires first. And that is where we mess up. The law of reciprocity which says, whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. And we reap what we sow. We can find that in Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. These things come into play. That means when we desire things and we want them, we want to get them, and we don't care what God says. We want to get them first, and then we'll come to God later or something if we don't get what we want the way we want it or something like that, and we get frustrated. Then we might turn to God. But the thing is this: if you want God to honor his promises to you, then you need to honor him by following his word. In one aspect, we are no better than the animals and flowers in that he provides for their basic needs without them doing anything to please him. He does that because they have no will of their own in which to make choices about what they do. Man, on the other hand, is different. We have a choice. We can choose to do what God says or reject it. The majority of us tend to treat God as if he were the spare tire on our car. As long as our lives are going well on the four wheels of humanistic thinking, we don't even give him a thought. He is something that is extra support to be kept in place if something happens to our support system. Well, when a car tire goes flat, then immediately all of our focus is on that spare tire. It has become the main focus of our life, because without it, we can't keep on going as we want to. Well, if you're going to treat him like that, then what do you expect him to do? Let me ask you this. What if God put you in your life on the back burner until something went wrong for him and he had to call on you to get moving again? How long do you think you would have to wait? Try eternity. God does not need us. We need him. In the overall scheme of things, there are three ways to obtain what we desire. There is the right way, there is the wrong way, then there is God's way. Most of us will choose one of the first two. The reason for this is that when taught what is right and wrong as children, we were given guidelines on principles taken from the Bible, but were led to believe that they were man's idea. Therefore, they became subjective to what man decided was right and wrong. That meant they could change on any whim of mankind. The Bible says there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. We can find that in Proverbs chapter 14 and 12 and Proverbs 16 and 25. There are certain things that we experience in life where we know what is right and wrong. And we, at least most of us, refrain from doing wrong as long as something doesn't happen where doing right won't help. then we have an excuse to do what we think is right, though it is wrong under normal circumstances. Someone asked me one day about stealing. He said, "The Bible says thou shalt not steal. But what happens when you have a family and your money runs out and you can't get any food and they are starving? You could go and steal something then, can't you? And God wouldn't be mad at you, would he?" Right? Now, in his mind, the choice to do wrong would be justified under these circumstances, and it might seem that way to you. However, God means what he says, and that means not stealing under any circumstance. Stealing under this circumstance, though many say would be justified, could get you in trouble or even get you killed. That surely is a way that seems right, but could lead to death. The same thing could be said for those that gamble, use drugs, commit fornication and adultery, or even, out of vengeance, killing someone. All may seem justified under certain circumstances, but God says not with him. Look in Isaiah chapter 55 and verse number 8 and read what it says there. People will do just about anything in order to achieve their goals. They even get sick worrying about how to make a reality, make their dreams or their goals a reality. In extreme cases, wars have erupted from this. Look at James chapter 4, verses number 1 through 3. All of these problems have a solution that is so simple that it is unbelievable. It only requires seeking God. And the thing is, just by seeking him, he will add the things you need and desire to you. There is a story about Solomon in the Old Testament where God gave him an open door to blessing when he asked him, "What do you want from me?" If you go to 1 Kings, and you can read about it, 1 Kings chapter 3, verses number 5 through 10. Now imagine that. Solomon could have asked for riches and power and woman and who knows what else. But no, he passed on all of that and asked for wisdom. What good is that? It won't feed you. It won't make you rich. It won't heal you if you are sick. Maybe yes, maybe no. That is what he asked for. But look what God did for him for seeking his righteousness. Verses 11 through 14 say that God added on to him all the things that any person would have asked for first. That is the way God does things. When I mentioned at the beginning of this message about politicians promising you to do things for that they'll do things for you, remember this: they can only do for you what God allows them to do. Without Him, the politician, you and I can do absolutely nothing. If we could just learn about what God has in store for those of us who will dare to abandon what we feel is right and wrong and commit ourselves to do what is right in His sight, how much better off we would be. He says, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. It's found in Isaiah chapter 1, verse number 19. This is the prerequisite that must be followed in order to receive God's best for you and your family's lives. The term eat carries with it two meanings. The first means to consume, as in eating food. That means that food will always be available to those that walk uprightly before God. No one starving in your family, God will make sure of it. Now, as if that is not enough, it also carries with it the mean of the meaning of to use up. This means that whatever the land has in the way of riches and goods will be yours as well. That means all of the minerals, trees, herbs and such will be yours. Trees, which can be used to build houses and other things, such as being used for fuel to keep people warm. They can be used by you or sold to others for money. The various herbs of the field, from which many things are produced, such as medicine for healing, and various seasonings for food, and other various things that can help you prosper physically and financially. Oil to power industry and the like. Grains and such for making bread and cereal and thousands of other things for eating. Minerals and precious stones like diamonds, pearls, gold, and the like. An overabundance of things all set aside for you by the Father, just waiting for you to get in line and receive them. Think about it. Here you are worrying about how you're going to make ends meet, when God has already got everything you need waiting for you, but you are out there acting like a fool and getting sick, worrying. No wonder you are all stressed out, working two or more jobs to pay those credit card bills that you have because you were just trying to provide a good life for your family. Many times the things we have are good, but they come with unnecessary strings attached. Having a nice house, a nice car, and other things that make life comfortable can be a curse if they are obtained by means other than the way that God says they should be gotten. The Bible says, the borrower is servant to the lender. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse number 7. that means obtaining these things by credit is putting yourself and your family under a form of slavery. This is a major strain that is attached to many of the things that you have now. Because of it, many of you can't even retire from your jobs to enjoy what you have, because your pension money and Social Security aren't enough to pay the bills. It can be seen as a type of begging. This goes against what David said when he penned the phrase, "I was young and now I am old, and I have never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread." Find that in Psalms chapter number 37 and verse number 25. That's quite a difference in what you have now versus what God says he has for you, isn't it? He wants to have you in the position of being able to lend to others and having people working for you. Take a look at Deuteronomy chapter number 28. Verses number 1 through 14, that's in the Old Testament. Doing things your way has landed you in the opposite position to what God says is your blessing. Your way or his way? Which will it be? As for me and my house, we will do it God's way. There is a light at the end of that long, dark tunnel that you were in. If you will just seek God and his ways, he will turn all of that around just for you. Well, that's the end of this message, and I hope that you got something from it. And what I hope you got from it is the fact that man always has a narrow mindset on what opportunities or what is available to him to obtain those things that he might desire. And I'm not talking about necessarily people that want to desire to have mansions and Cadillacs and furs and jewelry and stuff like that. I'm talking about your average person out here, or even those that are poor. They would all like to have a better life and things. And when they're in those positions, they tend to not see what's that terminology they use? You can't see the forest for the trees, or something along that line, where you got all of the problems and things that are facing you and so forth that are standing there right there in front of your face, but there's a whole vast array of things that if you can get past what you are immediately faced with to see that there's a lot more to it than what you're just looking at. And in order to do that, you have to get past that little front trees and things that's sitting out there and see what's behind those trees. Well, see, when it comes to God, what's and the way that man thinks, he looks at things the way that he, man, sees things. But those are the right and the wrong way according to man's eyesight. But if we can get past what man has and says is right and wrong, and look at what God says is right and wrong, then we could pursue things based on what God says. But no, we always want to put God behind our desires and only use him, like I said in the a little bit earlier, use him like a spare tire. When you, as long as you got the regular four wheels on the car, you can drive down the road. Well, as long as life is going good for you, the idea of God, you don't really need him now, because things are going just fine for you. But let something go wrong, that tire goes flat, or you face with bankruptcy, or you lose your job, or you have a heart attack or a stroke or something like that, then guess what? All of a sudden now everybody is looking for God. You know, where's God at? And see, you're going to go back there and look for him. And, you know, I remember telling some people, I said, it's like when Jesus's Bible says, you know, that Jesus stands at the door and he knocks. And if you open the door, he'll come in to sup with you and you with him and so forth. And I say, you know, Jesus knocks on the door. You come to the door, open the door up, and you see him. He's the first one there, but behind him you see drugs, or you see fornication or adultery, or you see alcohol or embezzlement or something like that. And you invite all of them in and tell Jesus just to stand there at the door. You invite everything else in but him. And then so you invite all of these other things into your house, and then when they start tearing your house up, you say, oh, I better go get Jesus now. You run and open the door, and Jesus ain't there no more. Well, see, that same thing with God. You keep on treating him like he's a spare tire or something, and it's going to come to the point where you might stay out there a little too long, because the Bible says his spirit will not always strive with man. In other words, he's not going to always be there trying to encourage you and urge you to change your ways or nothing like that. And then by the time you realize that you're in trouble and you're going to look for him, he's not going to be there. And that's the problem that we have today. Our prerequisites, like the subject scripture says, first, seek God and his way of doing things. That's what it means when it says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, or his right way of doing things. And then all of these things that you need and desire will basically, the needs first. What you might desire, you might be desiring something that God's not ready for you to have yet, for any number of reasons. You know, I tell some people, I say, you know, the reason why some people be praying to God and wanting to get wealthy or something like that, and have fancy houses and cars and clothes and stuff like that, is because God knows that if he gave them those things, they would destroy themselves. Quite literally, they would be out bragging about what they have, running people down, looking down their noses at people, not wanting to help the poor or doing anything else like that. They would just go on the wild and go out throwing money around, partying, gambling, and doing all sorts of things. That's why a lot of people today that have been praying for God to bless them with a lot of money, and he won't do it, because they can't handle it. So it's not so much the fact that God's going to give you all of your desires, but see, if you get wisdom like Solomon did, once Solomon got that wisdom and asked for it, and God gave him that wisdom, and Solomon began to act and function along the lines of the wisdom that God had given him in making choices about things and how to solve certain problems, not only for himself but others. You can remember the story about the story in there about the two women that came to him with this one baby, and each woman was claiming that the baby was her baby. And Solomon said, well, I tell you what, give me a sword and I'll cut the baby in half, and each of you can each of you will have a part of the baby. And one woman said, yeah, do that. And the other woman said, no, don't do that. Let her have the child, let the child live, don't kill the child. I'll just have to suffer without. And he awarded the baby to this woman that said let the child live, and to give it to the other woman, because he said this is the woman who's the real mother of this child. Because actually the story goes about the two women were living together, and both of them gave birth to babies about the same time. And during the sometime shortly after that, this one woman had the baby sleeping next to her, and evidently she rolled over on it and suffocated it and killed it. And so then what she tried to do, she took the other woman's baby, because the other woman was asleep, and switched babies with the other woman and made it appear that the other woman was the one who has rolled over on her baby and killed it, while this woman that had actually killed her baby was saying that the baby that was alive was hers. And so both of them went to the king after they had the disagreement about what actually happened, and Solomon, using his wisdom, was able to determine what the truth was, and awarded the baby back to the mother whose baby the baby was. But you know, it's stuff like that. We don't know what all we're missing out on because we choose to do what we think is right, or according to what man says is right, when if we look at God, he has a third opinion. I can remember when I went in the military, and I'll be closing after this. When I went in the military, the instructors there, the training instructors, or the TIs as they called them, told us this when we got there. They said, when you were a civilian, he said, when you get in the military, there are three ways to do things. He says, the right way, the wrong way, and the military way. They told us, they said, when you were out there as a civilian, you did things what were right and wrong according to civilian principles and things like that. But now that you're in the military, there's a whole new set of standards and rules to go by, and that's what you go by. So that's the same thing it is with God. You can do it man's way, or you can do it God's way. But when you come to the full knowledge of what all God has for you, if you do it his way, I guarantee you that practically 90-some% of you will abandon the ways that you're going now and jump on board to do things God's way. Well, this is Evangelist George McTyre closing this message out. And as I always say in closing the message, may God bless you and your families real good until we get together next time for another message. Good day.